audience will connect with you and we will be so positive and open and receptive. You'll just want to give us an excellent demonstration. So let's see if we can welcome her right from the start with a big warm round of applause.
Thank you very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Have you seen this woman? Is what was on the poster in Inverclyde for the police? That's how he's seen me. And I have to say, he actually asked me, would you come along and speak about your book? And I said, oh, that'd be lovely. You do it, and it says on the thing, a demonstration. I said, you never said that. So we'll see how it goes. But anyway, my name's Joan Charles, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening, and thank you very much for inviting me. I'm going to start with a wee reflective talk about my journey, because that's the only way I can do it in my own personal journey. And that would cover my childhood, parents, etc. So by the end of this, you'll be like, oh, don't bother with the demonstration, just go. Anyway, I was going to say, I've always been psychic or psychotic. I think the latter works better, actually. And in this line of work, it certainly does. But anyway, when I was small and growing up, the catchphrase in our house was, children should be seen and not heard. Do you remember that? I see people nodding. Obviously, you say my father's dogs were treated better than us, because you're like, shut up every 2 seconds. So it was a very strict environment, a very rigid upbringing. And my mother used to, when she spoke about me, she'd say, oh, she's a very highly strong child. Anyway, now I think I was probably super sensitive, but she would say highly strong. And that was the way that she used to describe me. You were afraid to say anything, and actually because the environment in the house, we never spoke about anything psychic or anything along those lines, you know, because things were happening to me, I used to think, if I tell them, they'll think I'm off my head and lock me up. Now I'm not so sure they shouldn't have done that in the first place. But you know that fear that you build up, it's a kind of unrealistic fear of, I'm sensing or I'm feeling things and things are happening. And why is it happening to me? Do you know that way? And I guess why not, is the other way that you could look at it. I always kind of struggled in the family, feeling I was quite alien to it and alien to the world. Many folk have felt like that, most of us. But do you know that way because you feel that way a bit different, that you feel that you don't fit in? So I really, really struggled with that. I was always quite a loner and felt probably it was better to be a loner than to be involved with too many folk, because then they would say, how do you know that? You know, where does that come from? So you start to kind of alienate yourself. But anyway, I personally think that every child comes to the earth and we all have special gifts. And I think it really, really depends on the nurturing and the parenting of those gifts as to whether we develop that or not. Now, I'm not for a second blaming parents. I don't think there's a blame here at all. I think it's just a lack of understanding. But on my journey, my own personal journey, and also interacting with different people, I come across parents who go, he's weird. This is the child. And I go, oh my God. Or they say things that you just think, what the heck's that about? And that's because that they're scared or they've got this lack of understanding. And I think, again, you know, very much that you would want to nurture that. And I think that we need more education round about that for people. So that has been part of my drive, is to try and educate people as in, this isn't anything weird, strange or abnormal. It's actually normal. It's an extension of all of our senses. But I didn't come to that realisation early on, unfortunately. Anyway, that's the weird bit out of the road. And the other part of that is when you hear parents talking in that sense, you know, you kind of think, if you're scared, how's that going to impact on your child? And isn't that a fertile ground for negativity and attracting that to the home, to the child, etc.? So rather than be scared, maybe speaking to somebody about it. I have to say probably that the media haven't helped, you know, with some of the hype and some of the mad things that you see on the television. Because that creates, we all like to be scared. We all love a wee scare. But I think that a lot of people take that to the opposite end of the spectrum and it becomes a reality for them. So I think there has to be some kind of balance in between. And, you know, staying with the media, I think that recently, especially over the recent years, there's been quite a lot of television programmes about psychics and mediums that have actually helped to bring that a wee bit more into the fore. So you would like to, you know, see more education in that and a wee bit more balance spread about the place. Anyway, when I was 5 years old, which is a long, long time ago, I was lying in bed, and you know that way you're kind of, as a child, your mind's going and the curtains are open, you're lying in your bed, and I saw the angel of death. And you might be going, get up, you were five, how do you know that that was the angel of death? I have no idea, I don't have an answer for that. I just know when I saw this, what I call the black or dark figure, that I thought, oh my God, and it stopped just out the window, and I thought, it's coming for me. So my instant reaction, as you would think, is to dive under the quilt, pull that over your head and not move. And I think I must have fell asleep because I was so rigid with fear and fright to look back out again. So I got up the next day and I went down the stairs, and my mum and dad were in the kitchen and they were quite upset. And I just thought, better not say anything because children should be seen and not heard. So anyway, my mum said to me, your Uncle John died last night. And he lived just along the road from us. I thought, my God, it came for him, it's coming back for me. So I had built up this fear. And so with nobody to ask, nobody to explain to, my fear about the whole thing was growing as well. What is this? What's going on? And every night thinking, I'm not looking at the window, just get under the covers and just go to sleep and you'll be all right. And touch wood, I'm still here so far, so it's okay. They've no come for me. Anyway, lots of different things kind of like that had happened. And then at the age of seven, I remember this day looking in the mirror. People look in the mirror, you're quite intensely looking in the mirror. And I remember having this thought, it was as if I was seeing from behind my eyes. And it's as if there was this kind of revelation, and it was kind of like the words in my head were, you're here for a purpose, which is ridiculous because we're all here for a purpose. But at the age of seven, I thought, flip, I should be playing my dolls. What does that mean? So it was almost like, by the way, you've got a big responsibility. Nobody's telling you what it is, but we'll leave that with you. So that was okay. Kind of left that to the back of my mind. And then at the age of 11, my dad used to get me to go home at lunchtime every day. Not for my lunch, to take the dog out, by the way. So I get home at lunchtime and I must tell Nick this wee story. But anyway, I turned on the tap, the sink was blocked. So in my infinite wisdom, I thought, get a coat hanger and I'll just see if I can unblock this drain. So I'm unblocking this drain, and the next thing, somebody tapped my shoulder and said my name in my ear. Well, the dog never got out, the door never got shut, and I ran 100 miles back to school. Because I thought, oh my God, that's terrifying. What the heck's going on? And the more I would work, or things were working with me, I would be in class or talking to, you know, my pals, and they would be saying things, and I would finish their sentences, thinking that everybody did the same. But it became very obvious that that wasn't the case. So I became more and more of a, not a recluse as such, but I kind of took myself out of the equation because I thought, this is just obviously not normal. So I did that until I was maybe 24, 25. And at that point, my mum passed. Anyway, she was the biggest catalyst for me getting back involved with whatever this was. Because you know when people lose somebody close to them, it makes them go in search of, what is this? What's life about? You know, are they okay? Is there something else? So I did what most people do. I started to go to lots of different things. I went to spirituals, churches, and everything I could actually get my hands on. I would say, oh, I'll have a go at that. And I remember going to see a psychic artist. He came to the arts guild in Greenock. So I thought, this is fantastic. And I said to him at the end, you know, I'd quite like to be a medium. And he turned and he says to me, you don't decide, they do. And I thought, flip, I'm not going with it. So I thought, talk about a slap down, you know, just very off-cutting. So I thought, well, maybe that's not the case at all. Maybe you've got to be chosen, you've got to be the one, or whatever that meant. So I did a wee bit more of that, and I did a lot of alternative health at the time. And I remember I used to work in an alternative health clinic, And people would come in and I would be doing my aromatherapy, massage on my back and go, oh, is your husband medical and tight work? Oh, there's a wee stream runs down by your house. And I'm going, are you getting that off my back? No. What else do you get? So this was kind of building all the time in the back, you know, it was kind of, you're that niggling, you've got to say something or you've just got to do something. Anyway, the clinic was being taken over and at the time I was doing lots of readings. And I guess I thought, I've got a decision to make. Do I carry on doing this or do I get more into the readings or, you know, develop this more? So the choice was made for me because the clinic closed. So in my, again, infinite wisdom, I thought, you know what I need? I need an agent. I know what I needed, it wasn't an agent. So one of my clients, her and her husband owned a pub and she was in and she said, do you know, we had a group in last night and they were just terrible. I need to speak to that agent. I thought, that's agent, that's her. So I phoned this guy and I said to him, I'd quite like to go from Greenock doing my readings to Glasgow. I didn't have any other plans in my mind at that point. But you know, there's always a greater plan playing out somewhere. So he said to me, what are you doing today? I said, about my work. No, what are you doing this afternoon? I'll come and meet you for a coffee. And I kind of thought, he's a bit keen. So he came to meet me. And his words were, see if you can do what you do and you can turn it into a stage show. I'll make you a star. I said to him, I've got my work to go to and I've got no time for nonsense. Is this a Jeremy Beadle thing? Because this is ridiculous. No, he said, I mean it, honestly. So of course I'd go home to my children, you know what kids are like, date mum, date. So that date mum, date got me here. And the week after we were in the recording studio because they said, if you want to do this, I need to see that you can speak with a mic. So 5 minutes into it, he says to me, right, that's enough. And I said, what is it? And he went, buckets like a dog to water, you'll be great. And before I knew it, I had all these pubs and clubs lined up thinking, oh my God, who put me here? That's always been my thought, who the heck put me here? Why did I agree to this? So I did that and I did it for quite a wee while and then decided he was making a fortune and I was making nothing, as you usually find out. But I've been ever grateful because that was the start of my journey. So, you know, sometimes being cabbage is okay because that's your kind of learning ground and that's absolutely fine. So I did quite a lot of my own work and then not long after that I got a job with the Sunday Post. So I worked with the Sunday Post for about 3 years. And at the same time, I met this other agent who, he used to bring over big stars from the States and things. So he said to me, what is it you want to do? And I said, have you heard of Doris Stokes? And he went, I want to do what she does. He says, have you done it before? And I said, no. And he said, how do you know you can do it? I went, oh, that'll be fine. So he said to me, okay, I'll book you the Pavilion Theatre. I nearly died. Never been in the Pavilion at that point in my life. I didn't get out much. So I go along to the Pavilion and I said, the guy said, what would you like on the set? And I said, what's the set? He said, would you want a chair? Do you want a lamp? Do you want carpet? I said, you could put flying monkeys on there, it doesn't matter to me. Where is the door and where is the loo? Two things I needed. So I also said, and how many people are coming tonight? He said, I've got 200. Well, if you've been in the Pavilion, you know it's a big place. And I'm thinking, God, I'll build a peas in a mountain. And he said, think you're so lucky nobody knows you. Slap down number two. So the curtains opened, there was 800 folk there. I did want to know where the door and the toilet was, I have to tell you. But, you know, touring with, I did a tour of the UK and all the rest of it. And slowly and surely, I've never had what you would call formal mediumship training. I've learned as I went along. I've kind of trained myself and trusted. But my catchphrase is, and I keep saying it beyond my grave yet, so it is, excuse my language, I'm always shite myself. I'm always terrified because I'm like, oh my God, what if they don't come? What if they're not there? And that, I think, is the biggest fear for any medium. What if it doesn't happen? What if you don't get that? What if you tap in and no matter how good you are, that just doesn't work? Like the night. And so, again, to me, it's about trust and it's about building up. I don't not trust spirit, I don't trust myself. And I think, you know, we all have that insecurity. But I kind of afford myself that wee bit of luxury because I think, well, we live on a human plane and I don't have any wings yet. So it's okay, you know, to be scared. It's okay to question yourself and it's okay to always be asking for more.
And if I was to look it back and reflect on the journey, I have always thought, you know, what else? What else can I do? How else can I get the message out there? Because getting the message out, I think, is one of the most important things, because that creates awareness, it creates understanding. And I think as long as it's done in the right way, that's very, very important. So working for the Sun, well, it's not everybody's cup of tea. You know, it's been a fabulous journey there, because that's over 4 years I've been doing something for them every Tuesday, whether it's to do with crystals, the aura, palmistry, as we know, lots of different things, because intuition and tapping intuition comes in lots of different ways. We can use lots of different tools to do that. And you know, what suits one person absolutely doesn't suit somebody else. So I think it's about having your toolkit and knowing that, well, I could use that, or I could use whatever. So that's why I feel that the Sun's quite important, and it's a good medium, and it's one of the biggest selling newspapers in Scotland, so it fair does the trick, basically. What else do I want to tell you? Any questions? Well, I'm having a wee drink of water. No, we'll wait to the end for questions. I'm a bit worried you're taking too many notes there. It's like that, I've got that highlighted, I've got that highlighted. So on this journey, and it's never enough, I have I designed an intuitive leadership course, because I thought, okay, I've done my tarot, I've been out there doing readings, I've done my alternative health, take me to the media, where have I now gone? So I thought, well, the corporate world, and I gained my infinite wisdom. So I thought, that's what I'll do, I'll just go and speak to them. So the first company that I actually spoke to was Cisco Systems. I thought, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it big. Went along, and I remember the guy saying, right, okay, we'll go for lunch and we'll have a wee chat about it. What do you want to do? So I said, well, you know, talking about your employees, especially your national sales team, surely they would benefit from tapping into intuition so that they could sell more. That sounds a good idea. He said to me, how much is it going to cost me? I've never thought of that, but. So I said to him, well, I don't know. And I don't know where it came from. I said to him, and what's your budget? And at the time, I think he said something like, and Spirit must have been with me then, I have to say, oh, 30,000. I mean, no, it'll not be as much as that. I'll be absolutely fine. And he said, right, let me go back and let me talk and let's have a wee chat about it. So then they agreed to do that. And they sent a specialist up from London, and he had just sat in the course. So at the end of the course, he said to me, no, this is in at the wrong level. I said, all right. So this was middle management. And he said, this is for senior management. And I thought, oh, for God's sake. This is just because you are in fear factor of anybody getting anything that you don't know about, etc. So he never called me back, which is fine. That's okay. They got their training. But since then, I've worked with a lot with Marriott. I do a lot for, you know, I did a lot for their HR, worked with Zurich Insurance, lots of different organisations. I don't go in and say I'm a psychic or a medium, because the people like that, there's the door. But what I do say is I use the word intuitive, because everybody's intuitive and they can accept that. But it always interests me when you're doing your course or you're developing and they get involved in it and they go, some of my granny used to read teacups, or do you see auras? So, you know, once you get them into the comfort zone and once you get them in a place that feels, this is okay. And I think that's the thing, it's talking to them on their level and making it up for them. And they just fall into it. And it's so natural, because it is natural. It's not anything other than that. So I've done lots and lots of things like that. And I've took that over to the coaching side as well. So coaching people, helping them as well, tapping into their gut feel, tapping into their own resources, and seeing the value that that's got for them and the potential that that can add to them as a person. So what will I do next? So the next obvious thing for me was to write a book. And the book was to do with stories about intuitive children, from intuitive children, and also about my life story as well. Because I felt there's nobody out there saying, this is what happened to me, did it happen to you, this is how you deal with it, here's some tools and techniques, here's simple tips. And since that, I've had
feedback from all over the world from people who say, oh my God, that made me feel so normal. It put things into perspective for me. Or I have got an intuitive child and I just hadn't got a clue what to do with this child. How do you nurture them? You know, what do you actually do? Do you encourage it and talk about it, or do you just shy away from it? So I feel that, you know, that was a benefit, and that was the root cause for getting out there, was just to create that kind of awareness and knowledge that we can all do stuff, and it doesn't have to be rocket science, because it's not rocket science. It's just simple, basic senses that we enhance on. That kind of makes sense? Mm-hmm. Using that sense word again. And each time that things have happened to me, so I saw the angel of death. That's like the extension of your sight when you're a medium or a psychic or a clairvoyant. I sensed that there was somebody that, what was I talking about earlier? When somebody tapped my shoulder and, you know, and spoke in my ear, I heard that and I, you know, I felt that. So again, it's just all the senses, and if we could learn to extend all of these senses and, you know, use the tools that we've got, then how much better would all of our lives be? You fed up listening to my story now, because I'm like, oh my God, it'd be bored stiff. I always think your own story about yourself is quite, you think it's dead boring, don't you? Or is it just me? So, what else do I want to say to you? Mediumship. I've got a wee revelation, or a confession to make about it. Because I train people in lots of different things. I train people to read the tarot, and I started doing that last year because I was so sick of hearing people out there doing it, taking money and, you know, not giving the right stuff, just for the sake of it. And I thought, this is wrong. So if we teach them properly and we say to them, delivering the message is important, how you deliver the message and how you tap into that energy is very key to what you do and how you're going to go forward. I teach them how to, you know, tap into auras or energies or whatever word you want to use, and lots of different things. But I won't teach somebody how to become a medium. And I've been asked so many times, and I think I do not want that responsibility. I think it's a huge undertaking. And I feel that I'm still in my apprenticeship, even though I've been doing it for over 30 years. I still feel very much that this is a learning stage for me. And I think, well, it should always be a learning curve, and you should always be learning. There should never be a time you go, I know it all, because if you do, there's something far wrong. Even if you're doing a reading for somebody, I think it should be a case that you should get something back from them. You go, God, I never thought about that. So I won't teach mediumship. And what I normally say is, go to an older medium. Go to somebody who knows what they're talking about, who has the structures, the foundations, and everything that you need. Because I feel that then they get their apprenticeship and the foundations are there and they're taught properly. Whereas maybe for me, the fear of that is I've taught myself. You know, I've still got a lot of fear. I still think every time I stand up, it's not going to happen. What if they don't come, or what if it's rubbish? You know, I still have all of that. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think if you didn't do that and you weren't questioning yourself, then I think sometimes ego steps in a wee bit too much. And I feel that when you're dealing with somebody's emotions and their life, there isn't a place for your ego. You know, it's very much about their world. You've been allowed to step into their world, and I think that we have to respect and nurture that fact, not just take it for granted and just spout out something, you know, in a insensitive manner. So I think that some of the kind of older spiritualist churches, older mediums, SSPR, can really help mediums to come on and develop. And I think I might have a role to play in that, but I don't actually think personally that I should be the one that just sits down and says, right, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to train you. Because I just think it's a big thing. And I don't know if I'm going to kind of put my neck on the block here. I always just like to say it the way it is for me, and I can only speak personally for me. But I feel that we have to also be aware that, you know, sometimes people who are very vulnerable are attracted to this type of arena, shall I say. And we have to be very mindful that we don't put someone in a place or a situation
and not force them, but encourage them or push them to do something that they're not equipped to do? And how do we know that when somebody just walks in the door? How do you know, you know, there was recently an opening of a centre, and I'd given a talk, and there was a girl, and I was very drawn to this girl, kept thinking, something just not quite right. So I was totally right then. So I said, any questions? And she just shot up her hand and she burst out crying, and I thought, oh my God, is my claim to fame upset everybody? And she said, I just so agree with what you're saying. She says, and I just came here to see you, and I went, oh, wait a minute. I said, you know, I'm only saying from a personal experience, you have to go from your personal experience as to what's happening with you. Anyway, there was clearly lots of stuff going on with her. And she said to me, I want to do what you're doing and go to pubs and clubs and do readings. I thought, oh, no, you don't, please God. You know, you're going to be let loose on all these people who are vulnerable, and you're going to be just not in the right place at all. And so a big part of my worry is for the people coming in the door who are very sensitive, very vulnerable, and who might need some help in different ways, but are they ready for things like that? Who knows? You know, is it my place to say yes or no? That's an ego thing as well, isn't it? But I'm more concerned about putting them in a position that would upset their equilibrium, their mental, emotional state and all the rest of it. And that's really all I care about, because at the end of the day, you're responsible for that. And you'll be held responsible, I suppose. And I definitely don't want to be in that bracket. So much as I would dearly love to do it, it's an area I would prefer not to be involved in. I always think, leave it to professionals. Leave it to people who are older and wiser. But I also think that along with that, coupled with new methods, if we could marry the two of those together, the old and the new, then we've got something that can be quite unique. And that's why I think that blending and mixing is a really good idea. They did a big experiment in I think it was one of the big corporates, and they took lots of key leaders and they paired them up with kids from the street and housewives and all the rest of it, and they got them to work together, and what they learned from each other was so invaluable. And that's what I feel about mediumship. I think if we can marry up the old and the new, you know, how much more could we have and how much more could we benefit from that? But again, it's just my own personal thoughts on where we are and, you know, and what we could do and what we have to offer as well. I can't think if there's anything else I can tell you. Don't want to go on forever and that you're always, you know, kind of listening to me. Is there any thoughts on anything I've said so far that you would like to input in on? Oh God, don't always speak at once. Thank God you're here, Hen, I met you in that lift.
Well, that's why I was saying, obviously.
Thank God.
Because if there's one person good at asking silly questions,
listen,
that's
there's
my
no, there's
to
no
be.
Silly questions.
No, funnily enough, we were talking about that coming over. Look, it's folk that think they've got a gift, as you say, and they've not. And it's been my big thing, is the understanding of the extra senses.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's the understanding of that getting into the education system.
Uh-huh.
Because, as you say, you know, kids get put down, etc., or bunged on Ritalin, or whatever.
Absolutely.
And these extra senses don't get developed. Now, I worked just a month before I was thrown out, and with kids, you know, look, just as an auxiliary, right? And there was one wee boy, and he had been sort of confessing this to me, and I'm going, where's all this coming from? You know, this boy has definitely got extra senses. So I was discussing it with his mother, you know, but that wasn't my place. I shouldn't have been, it should have been going through the headmistress, etc. But this wee boy's brother was really ill. He spent his whole life up at York Hill, you know, so became very, very aware of extra, you know, kids that were dying or
absolutely.
Whatever. But I get my finger slapped for doing this or for encouraging, but the mother was totally okay with it. But that wee boy had all these gifts that weren't getting developed. And it's how do we get this into the education system? Is that your next move?
Yeah. Well, I would love to do that. My worry about that has, the only thing that stops me doing that is, do you know what, there's a lot of people who go, it's a cult. And then you get slated because it looks as if you're trying to do something except that you're not. Now there's lots of indigo children, crystal children, etc. that, you know, ADHD or whatever, and they're given all this medication because, do you know what? In a lot of cases, we don't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. Present company excluded, by the way. But it's true, it's like, well, we can't handle that, so just shut up and we'll just feed you this. And you're right, there are so many wonderfully gifted children out there that, you know, we're missing, and the world is missing. How do we know that one of them won't come up with a marvellous, you know, cure for something? Or, you know, be the next Picasso or genius of some description? And if they're not nurtured, but they're quietened, how, you know, that soul has come here to do something, and that soul has been quieting down all the time, all the time. And so to encourage that, and you might get your knuckles wrapped, but your intention was good. But thankfully the mum was open to it. In a lot of cases, they're not open. Or it's like, oh, she's weird. She comes out with the strangest things, or, oh my God, and I've heard it, oh, that frightens the life out of me. That is your child. Why would that frighten the life out of you? Because they don't understand and they're scared. So if I can't cope with it, I don't want you doing it. So we just need to quiet you down. So I would love to go into education, and if anybody's got a route in, hand guys, if anybody's got a route in, that would be fantastic, because that would be my passion. Do you know, sorry, I'll come at you. See in other countries, what they do is they take the gifts and they nurture them. Like in Japan and even in Russia and all these places as well, they do, but we're so scared of it. So anyway, is that kind of answer a wee bit?
No.
I would love to do that next as the shortened version of the answer, sorry.
Right, no, brilliant.
Do you not think it might be best, just to make sure the child is reassured, that's okay, everything's fine, and let them, and then encourage them to concentrate on the education until they're old enough to understand it better?
No. Personally, no. Because there are age groups of children where if that is not encouraged, then it's not the same, or it doesn't kind of, it's not enhanced to as to what it could be. Because education is also left brain, the left brain is very logical. An intuition psyche is anything but logical, do you know?
But do you not think that some of these countries that exploit the children, perhaps? It sounds like a good idea, but at the same time...
Exploitation is a different thing. I totally get, because some of the countries...
officials, and see, you know, they actually can exploit them. And it's like the gymnast in, say, Russia, and the children are actually harassed.
I understand.
Physically gifted. And their lives are made hell because they're overtrained.
I think there's a balance.
That. So I think there's always a possibility. It's fine saying the education system, but again, the same thing could happen. And that
absolutely.
I just feel children should have learned their childhood and reassured that that's fine and encouraged at the same time, but let them get a good education and let them enjoy their childhood and not push too much.
So can I separate that question into wee sections? Absolutely, education, you need that for your life. Absolutely fun. Wains need to be encouraged to have fun. But they can have the intuitive side as a fun thing.
Yeah,
you know, without going, you've got to do that.
Yes.
The exploitation, I think, comes, and in some cases, you know, in certain countries, they're exploited because we want to know things and we want to get into different. I would say the Cold War would be a good example where we've used psychics just to spy or to do things that are not. And I think when I'm talking about doing it for the highest good. I'm not talking about all that because to me that doesn't work either. And I think that takes away from a child or an individual and it conditions them. You're cloned then. Do you know what I mean?
I think the trouble is that you can start off with good intentions. You know how they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And you can start off with good intentions, but there's too many people out there who don't understand and they become exploitative. And I just meant...
Absolutely, totally get it. And I agree with you. Uh-huh. I agree with you. I think there has to be a healthy balance of everything.
Yes.
And if you've got that, especially fun, does a child want to be do that, do that, do that? There's no fun in that. There's no fun in that for an adult either. So when even when I'm training adults, it's fun, or it's the weirdest, wackiest things, but it's good fun. So is that kind of...
Maybe I can offer just a point of information about the role of intuition in Scottish secondary education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For most of my teaching experience, which is 35 years now, I would say that the Scottish education system has used a materialist, reductionist kind of way of approaching categorising knowledge and putting a heavy emphasis on science. It's only in recent years that emotional intelligence has become mainstream within Scottish education, and in particular areas the concept of nurturing and soft skills and subtle skills in dealing with people, but always staying away from altered states of consciousness. It's quite rare to be allowed to teach meditation in Scottish schools. Not so much yoga, which is becoming popular, but quite rare. And the Scottish government several years ago said, we want our children to stay fully awake and fully alert in all aspects of the curriculum. We don't want them to be trying to enter altered states not to understand what they can get in other ways. And there would be a strong attack on any attempt to develop alternative spirituality. So for example, religious observance has very recently, just in the last few days, been downgraded, because it's no longer to be called religious observance, it's to be called reflective thinking.
See, you give it a nice title and it works.
From what I can see in terms of trends, emotional intelligence will bring spirituality or alternative spirituality in by the back door, but it could take 20 years.
Mm. Isn't that sad?
Yes.
I know what it is. It's sad that we need... And finally, there was something last week that it was actually on Facebook, and there was something about out-of-body experience, and it's scientists had done the research, and so they went, it's great because it's true. I went, well, that's good. Now we can all say, we're okay, we're not in our cases. You know, if it has that seal or stamp of approval, isn't it sad we've got to wait for something like that? You know, just to be able to do normal things, or to think, that was an experience that I had and this is what I got from it.
Any other questions or comments on what you've heard from Joan so far?
That's a very... just one particular point I've missed. When you saw the mysterious figure appearing at the window, we were about 11, I think.
Five, the
very young one. But you went down the next day and your mother said, now who was it that died?
My uncle.
My uncle, thank
and
you.
He lived along the road just...
Yes, thank you.
So you've taken all the notes you don't. I want to ask any more questions. I thought this man at the front is going to have loads of questions. I'm there. Yeah, it was my uncle. He'd actually been ill for a wee while. You know, he had cancer, but he was quite ill for a wee while. And I suppose as a child, you don't think. You know, you're not involved in how ill somebody is or what's happening. But there was this thing and that happened, and I just thought, oh God.
That is very interesting. At the same time, what had he died the day before, or what?
He died the night, that night.
You know, when you actually saw this figure.
Well, I don't know if he died at that time, but he died that night.
That night, anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that made it much more real and much more scary. I thought, flipping heck, that thing was coming for somebody. It didn't come for me.
How would you explain that now? What do you think was happening?
I just think it was his time. You know, I think it was his time, and that's what was happening. I have no idea why at five I thought that's the angel of death. Why would you think that?
Yeah.
You know, and I still don't have an explanation for why
But I thought that at the age of five.
I knew that's what it was. And that's what I'm saying. At 5 years old, you wouldn't expect somebody.
No.
If my grandchildren at five, I've got two at five, if they said that, I would be thinking, why would you think that? Where did that come from? But we weren't a family that discussed, you know, anything like that or psychic matters or anything. So I just had a knowing that that's what it was. And that was confirmed, obviously, the day after when the information came out. So, yes.
It probably won't come just now, but maybe if you think of it for the next couple of days, I've never heard of anybody actually seeing the angel of death.
No.
But I've heard of people talking about people, relations, or
that's right,
somebody
coming
from
them.
Somebody.
That's right.
Right? Could you, when you think back, okay, you were young and didn't know anything about it, but now would you maybe not say it was somebody that they would have, you know, was it actually an angel of death? Did it, was it a black thing with big
wings?
With big wings?
It was a black thing, trust me. But you know, I know that people, you know, when they're very ill and they say, like my father, would say, oh, there's your mum, my mum had died, or there's such and such, and I thought, they're coming for him, you know, and that happens frequently, doesn't it? I personally had never heard of the angel of death, and you know, it was when I was writing my book, and I thought, I wonder if that is actually something, and if you put it into Google, you'll see there is things like that, but I never even told my family, my sister, nobody, because I thought, they will think I've lost the plot. You know, there's something really sadly wrong with her. So I never said a thing, and it was only actually my sister read it. She went, really? And I said, aye. Because I was embarrassed and I was scared,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't have an explanation because I knew somebody was going to say, 5 years old, how did you know that's what that was?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, I don't know.
Any other questions? I have one, but I'm holding it to the end.
The gentleman at the back.
But in one of Gordon Smith's books, he tells a story about when he was young and he took some of his friends into the hut at the back of the house and they were having a meeting, you know. And when they started this wee meeting, he kind of lay back. And suddenly his voice behind it says, a voice that nobody had dared recognise was, of Comfort Barney. And that night, his Uncle Bernard died. His Uncle Bernard lived with him.
Did he see anything? Or was it just the voice?
No, it was only the voice. He says that when they heard this voice, the old dash
get
the shade. Can I play? You know, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But it's a similar kind of thing to what you're saying there. You know.
I always think, what the heck did you do that to me for, you know? I remember waking up one night and my mother was standing at the side of my bed and I let out such a scream. So the next day the kids were laughing. I said, what are you laughing at? You seen a ghost. Imagine you screaming. I mean, I didn't expect it to be standing at the side of my bed, I thought it was a burglar.
Any other questions?
Yes,
I just find it really disconcerting the dark figure, because you know what you mean, like you think of a figure of light, of relatives, but this dark figure, mm-hmm. That makes you that sort of disconcerting.
That's why I was under the covers.
Can you explain it now about why it's a dark figure?
No idea. No.
Did it feel unpleasant?
Well, I was scared because I was five, but you know, I would need to go back to that point to kind of, and now I would worry that, am I putting an explanation on that because it suits? So it was scary and it happened is all I can say, and it was, I'll say that black figure, that black shape, and I've always referred to it as that, do you know what I mean? So
sounds just sinister.
It does, doesn't it? Yes.
I think sometimes you have to say something like that or experience something in that way for it to have the impact that you still can to this day.
Oh my God,
honey. Children, people don't credit children enough with their memories from this lifetime. And I think when something traumatic happens, or something that's very, very happy and joyous happened. That's the things that we remember. And so maybe you needed it to be shown to you in that way for you to come to the stage that you're at now and be able to talk, but still with the honesty of how it appeared to you at that time.
I think that, you know, those three things that happened, so the angel of death, then when I was looking out from behind my eyes in the mirror, and also somebody tapping, I think those to me are the three relevant things. I think, oh my God, I so strongly remember that. But on reflection, I think, get a grip, they'll try to say to you, this is what you're meant to be doing. But I suppose when you don't know and you don't understand as a child, it's hard to kind of put those wee jigsaw pieces together.
So even the expression of it, the angel of death,
I know.
The word death was conveyed to you, and indeed the next morning you discovered your uncle had died.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it has that impact. I think that's why it was revealed in the way it was.
That's a good point.
Question then.
Yes, Pet.
Can I just say, are you a
medium hen? Trainee. Yeah,
yeah.
Aye, because I just thought, oh, you're on the road, Pet.
I've seen like shapes, figures, and things like that in home, but I say welcome and good evening and different things now.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, I seen my mum too, and freaked is the word, I think, and she'd only died about 3 weeks previous. I never ever went back into that room again, and I used to pay my sisters to do the tidying up rather than me go into it. So it was a traumatic kind of time. So, and I didn't understand. But now, because I'm training, I understand there is these black figures, and they possibly, I'm guessing, that possibly it might progress in my journey to, I've seen
transfiguration.
Yeah, I've seen my husband to, you know, the way Nick's standing there, but just a wee bit.
Transparent.
So, what I'm saying to you is, at five, although it was traumatic, terrifying, and it was the angel of death that came into your head, that figure was the start of your
journey. Yeah.
So are you were terrified, and if you've seen it again, you'd never go, oh, that's the angel of death, some neighbour must be going past tonight.
Absolutely, because you've got a different understanding.
Yeah. But the thinking that's the angel of death, I don't know what happened to you before you were five, but I kind of get a feeling that you were a wee bit scared of it anyway.
I was very scared of things that were happening because I didn't have an understanding, and I thought,
aye,
I'm dead weird. I'm still dead weird, by the way.
But the word would frighten anybody at five.
Absolutely. And can I also tell you, I have, and I'll say to my kids, if you were to ask my kids, I'll say, I'm quite happy to go anytime. I have no problem about going because I know where I'm going to, and I've got very fixed views in my mind, that's where I'm going, and it's absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said I live with a foot in both worlds. I prefer that world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like, and I probably get quite emotional about the fact that this life to me is too regimented. There's too many, there's got to be's, there needs to be's, too many labels and stamps. And I don't think it should be like that. But I understand that we've got to live in the rules of the world. I don't very much like it, I prefer that side. Before I leave you, have you got a mother figure in spirit that passed with cancer?
Yes.
Because I feel you, can I just, you know, there's a lady comes forward and so I'm speaking to you, and she passed with cancer, but there's a mother figure behind her that passed with cancer too, and they're both stepping forward for you. And I just feel as if that they're going like that with you at the back, going, right, come on you, come on. But she would have a laugh at this, and she would be going, imagine you doing this now. She would be killing herself because she'd go like that. God, you were feeling even before that. So, is it okay just carry on for a wee minute? And she's just, I feel that she wants to encourage you in it. Do you sometimes have problems around about the tummy area? Or does that make sense to you?
It makes sense to me.
Right. Okay. And do you understand the memory of a gentleman who passed and he had a leg problem on the left side and he would have used a stick?
Yes.
Because she's bringing him forward as well. She's just bringing the memory forward, okay? And she's talking about the 23rd and 24th of April, okay? So can you break it down, can you take the 23rd?
I can take 23rd of a month.
Right, well, she's saying 23rd, 24th of April. She puts a kind of, you know, the what's that word?
I'm sure there's a technical word for it, but anyway. She was quite funny, wasn't she? She had a great sense of humour, so I never made that going with. So I'm wondering, did somebody pass between two dates, the 23rd and 24th? I don't know, but would you put your mind to that anyway? And she's showing an Australian flag as well. So is there a connection where Australia's linked?
That's okay.
And she's taking you down south as well. Okay, I don't know, she's showing the London area too.
Yeah.
Because she's giving me Oxford there, but she's taking me down towards London, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just, so she's bringing that forward just to let you know that she's there. What else do I want to say? Is there a twin connection with you as well? Aye, because she's giving me the twin connection. And would twins have passed?
Yeah.
Because she says there's twins over there as well,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, interesting, she's showing me a wee white Bible.
Yeah.
You understand? And she's just, I feel as if that she's got hold of this wee Bible. And she was a good person, but I would say she would be what I would call salt of the earth, do you know that way?
Yes.
So she just kind of got on with things. She would have helped everybody else,
yes.
Do you know? She was like wee Florence Nightingale, that's what she's saying, because she would have nurtured and nursed, and she would have taken in all the waste and strays, okay? And she's talking about a dog and spirit, but I can't give you a message for a dog apart from Woof, but anyway. She's just bringing a dog forward from spirit. Do you pray a lot? Because
yeah.
She says, oh my God, you're always praying, aren't you? And she says, you think it doesn't get answered, doesn't get heard. You're hoping. She says, you're hoping. And she's loving because she needs pennies for heaven, so we'll not go into that. But anyway,
yeah.
She's saying, things are okay, but it's been tough for you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've got a wee dullness in one of your ears.
Yeah.
And she's saying, but you know what? You're not listening anyway. So she says she's got cloth ears and she's not listening. And I feel spirit are trying to speak to you.
Yeah.
And it's almost like even though you've got a dullness, it's like a metaphor for her saying, clear your ear, all right? Sorry, she's just need to kick up the backside. And she's asking you to get on with that. Do you know someone lost their sight in one eye as well?
Yes.
I was just saying, is he a wee bit quieter? Do you know what? I want you to say, I feel serious, but my mouth shut like that.
Mm.
I feel quite intense,
mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to any personality things because it's not for this, what it's for, but it's just giving you a wee memory of that too. I'm hearing Roses Are Red, the song, Violets Are Blue,
mm-hmm.
You understand? Just again for a wee memory. And that's why she's talking about the Charleston. Did somebody used to go to the dancing? God, how long ago was that, the Charleston? When was that?
She was a dancer.
Aye, she's talking about the Charleston, so she was a dancer. So she's talking about dancing and all of that kind of stuff. And she's having her ear to her. You know, she liked fun. She liked just life, basically. And she was full of life, and she's full of life now in spirit. And she's seeing Rose also. She's just writing that out there for me. And you're getting a bunch of flowers, so where are we now? February, so there must be something coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Just not too far away that you're getting that for.
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to learn something, as in study something?
Yes.
Do you know if you're coming or going with it? I feel just, you're like, oh, I don't want to know it. She says, you're dancing with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to get your backside and go do it.
Okay.
Did you think about doing an Open University course?
Yeah.
So that's what she's telling me. Open University. And can you take James and John?
Yeah,
because they're together.
Yeah.
Okay, and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Okay, am I blithering on, sorry?
No.
Okay, and Catherine.
Yeah.
Okay, Catherine as well. So, sorry, I know I've answered your question, but I just thought, well, I'm there a bit and give you, so hope that's all right. Thank you. Thanks.
You've got a lot more people asking questions now, so I think you might have a free message thrown in with the answer. Can I jump in with my question?
No, it's
two-pronged, and it's first of all, what's your view of the Christ force, the Christ energy, the Christ that is the subject of mainstream Christianity, and how does that compare with what you would call the higher side of life? And the other aspect of it is, we've been considering briefly the dark side, the sinister side of
Darth Vader.
Of spirit messages and so on. And I know that quite a lot of spiritualists or mediums or people, let's say in your line of work, do not like psychical research case investigations, and they prefer to pass them to psychical researchers to do them. And they say it's because sometimes you're dealing with low-grade entities, or maybe even the possibility of having attachment issues or negative energies or evil energies. And it's not uncommon for us to be asked to perform exorcisms, which is not something we do. But what's your view of exorcisms, the devil, Satan, and those kind of things?
They pressure me.
So
can I start with the Christ thing? I don't think that it depends on your connotation of Christ. If it's the man with the beard and the halo, no, I don't. It's not my understanding. If it's a universal consciousness, I totally understand, because we are not separate. That's just my personal view. I can't speak for anybody else. I can only say the way I view it. And I think that, to me, that's the higher consciousness, the higher levels, and connecting with the divine, the greater good. So would that kind of answer that question? Talking about exorcisms, I recently, I'll start with the kind of smaller part of the question, which is, you know, people pass things, and I've also passed things your way as well. So I personally prefer to work with higher energy, higher level energy, because I'm fear. I don't take any of that name with it, and I don't want to go there. I just always work at a high level, because I don't think I'm equipped to deal with it. I wouldn't understand how to do that. And I wouldn't want it attaching to me and coming home. I've got to make my tea and I don't want that kind of, I don't like mince, do you know that kind of way, or whatever. So honestly, it's not for me. Maybe if I was a wee bit more, I think I would need quite a lot of training. One of my friends does, is it called soul retrieval? She does a lot of that. And I know it's intense work, and I don't know that I'm equipped to do that. And I think you have to know your limitations and pass it on to the relative people, because I think it's a duty of care. Recently, it was quite a wee sad thing. One of my friends attended something. Well, she attended a course. And she'd phoned me this Sunday night, and she said, are you busy? No, no, no. Anyway, I said, what's wrong? Oh, she says, I've had a terrible day. And she'd attended a course, and the long story short, she said, I went in and I seen this static energy. And she said, it just came into me. And she says, I could feel that moving about. And I thought, oh my God. So anyway, the person she did the course with gave her no help whatsoever. And I contacted the person, and I said, I think that it's ridiculous. You've got a duty of care. This was your course. And do you know what the person said to me? I'm appalled at your notes that you've sent me. They don't care. Some people don't care. That girl's had 3 exorcisms, and it's taken her quite a while. That's why I'm talking about vulnerability. And I just think it's so important to safeguard people to your best. And if you can't do that, then you bring in somebody who can cope with that in that environment, or you have people on hand. But some people, it's like every line of work, some people, it's a money-making thing, they just don't care. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. So my view is, treat it with the greatest respect. It's like electricity. You're not going to stick your fingers in a socket. Do not go and do something that you can't, or you're vulnerable about. Neither do you take on somebody who's vulnerable. So I don't know if that answers, but that would be my take on it.
Can I have a message now?
No.
are there any other questions before we offer the opportunity, as I think you originally planned, to maybe move to a demonstration, but so about you?
Just give you one.
Yep.
That's what you're
getting.
I'll get it.
Yeah, of course
you can.
Children.
Sorry, the gentleman, be back.
I'm asking about people who maybe are skeptical, cynical about this whole thing. If they were to come to a meeting like this or to a demonstration of yours, are they less likely to receive a message because they're not open to it?
Well, funny enough, we were talking about this as well earlier on. I did a show during the week, and again, long story short, man at the end, and I says to him, can I come to you? I don't know why I want to come to you, but I am. I says, because you don't believe in it, do you? And he went, no. I said, well, what are you doing here? Anyway, he was there with a partner, so I gave him some things, and he says, yes, that's right. Other things he says, I can't do it. I'm still skeptical. That's okay. I'm not here to change the world. I'm here to do my bit. There are some people that you won't change their mind, even if you say to them, or when he tell you, whenever, whatever, you can't change their mind. But, you know, other people who come for a reading, I had a lady and she got loads of information, and she was like, that's right, that's right. And then she said at the end, I wish I could believe. And I thought, what do you mean you don't? I don't know if I believe. I've just given you all this information. She said, my mother's dead 7 years, and she goes, we had a nickname for her. Nobody's been able to give me it. I thought, no pressure. So anyway, we chatted and that was fine. So just before I left, I said, oh, by the way, I have to say whatever it was to her. And she went, oh my God, I've waited 7 years for that. I went, yeah, you've waited 7 years, but at the same time, you're disregarding all that quality information because you waited on that needle in the haystack. But I think it blocks them, it limits them. That's what I would say. So, oh yeah, we last question.
Yeah, it was just you're talking about children. And this business about helping psychic development, you know, in schools now, but is that not the problem? That, you know, there's so much, they're sort of opening them up, or, you know, I can't really express what I mean, but I think they're...
Are you scared for children if they were to open up? Is that what you mean? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I think there's so much abuse kind of made of psychic development. There's so much out there. People making it, they've been trying to teach the children psychic development, they don't fully understand it. And you said that things happen to people, and they seem so vulnerable to get opened up to it. Oh, you know, there's the people teaching them are not
equipped.
That's it. You could end up with an awful lot of people trying to teach psychic children things to children that aren't equipped, and the children might have abilities, but they're unprotected. You think of schools, you know, the number of schools they have.
Yeah.
It's bad enough maybe for a church just trying to get enough mediums to come, and yet you're saying, well, give the children that encourage their psychic development. But where are you going to get the people that really are equipped to do that? Have you ever had people ill-equipped meddling about with children, thinking, I'll teach them?
Absolutely.
They don't know what they're doing. That's why I feel children should be... it's like you want to discourage them, but I think it's safer for them to
safety first, and emotional welfare,
yes,
and the right people doing the right job.
Yes.
But absolutely. And I don't even know that it's about psychic development, it's getting them to use the gifts they have,
yes,
in a fun way, but not saying, yes, you've got to do X. Yes.
So. The trouble is, it's the people out there, who have you got? Who can you really trust to do that? Because it leaves such an open field, doesn't it? You think of the number of schools, the number of children, and people saying that child is able to be psychically developed and the child isn't. Or people that think they can help with psychic development and don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's I think we would
recognise the warning signs that you're highlighting. Yeah. Is there anyone else that's got another question?
Yes.
The senses. I've been on it, Nick, about this for years, you know. Because you know how big people say the five senses, but we've not. We've got, do you know how many? And it's like the proprioceptors and proprioception, and that's where I would like coming in from the scientific perspective to find out actually and assess the extra senses that we've got, which are part of our physiology.
What's your question, mate?
The extra thing. I'm very sensory imbalanced, dyslexic, everything, you know.
That's okay.
But it's being able to formulate the question. You've got the idea in your mind, but you don't have the words to formulate the idea. Then you'll learn, which I forget them. But you learn the words, but other people don't know them. It was when I first brought it up about the proprioceptors, and would we not need the better understanding to understand psychical research, right? So I couldn't even spell apropriacy. Just to Google it, I can get it now.
Because you and I have chatted about this in the past, can I maybe try and pose a question?
Right, thank you.
And that is, in addition to the five senses,
yes,
do you not accept that there could be a whole range of senses
absolutely
that we simply haven't articulated yet, either in the brain or in the body?
Both. I agree with both. But I think that part of maybe the way forward from this lady's question and for yours is maybe if schools aren't the way, then it's something for parents that they could come along and hear about psychic, intuitive, all the rest of how it works, with some tools and tips to help them. And because I think if the parent isn't equipped, then the child's not going to be equipped.
No, I didn't mean the,
no,
the
I know
parents.
You didn't mean that.
I meant actually medical science. We didn't have the technology years ago, but now with brain scans and everything, you know, they'll be able to pinpoint that now. As Nick's saying, you know, he's thinking it's 20 years before it'll come into education, but we've got to be fighting with medical science that it could come through much quicker.
It's very timely what you're asking, Ray, because in this current issue of the National Geographic magazine, their front cover and main feature article is the use of technology in increasingly sophisticated brain scans. While people are doing a wider range of tasks than ever, they're beginning to identify threads within the brain rather than areas of the brain, and it's just getting more and more sensitive. But I'm concerned that we're getting a wee bit close to time. Are there any other questions before we hand back to Joan for the remainder?
I'm just going to do a wee one word, because I wanted to just, if anybody wants to move on, they can send, because I know we're time sensitive. I don't know why, but I feel as if I'm in this second row, and maybe I am and maybe I'm not. After all these years, I still never know where I'm going, basically. But I do, excuse me, I do have a tall gentleman that's standing next to me, and he gives me the name of John. Now, he's very well dressed and he's wearing a tweed jacket, but the thing that draws my attention is he's got a cheaty bone, and he feels as if he would be the type of man who would put over information eloquently or very knowledgeable, or would have done something in the teaching realms. Does that make sense? I just felt as if I was here. Was he tall, gentleman?
Yes.
Was he thinning of the hair? I don't want to say the word. No. This gentleman has a tweed jacket on, he's very smartly dressed, and he's wearing a cheaty bow. And that's what's drawing my attention. And he looks as if he would be quite either a teacher or somebody who would impart knowledge. But I kind of felt I was here. He kind of looks a wee bit like you.
No.
No, does anybody else understand what that is? Do you take a pen? No.
I'm just thinking of the actual Roy.
No, no, that's not the name that he's given me. And he's taller than I am, and it's just very prominent, but that doesn't make sense.
I have a John spirit that is that stature.
And would he be quite a well-dressed gentleman?
Yeah, very much.
Because I feel as if he's wearing, and this jacket, it's kind of like, you had to be smart. The appearance was important to this gentleman. And I'm calling him a gentleman because he was a gentleman.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way he would have responded to people. And he would have given information or been able to converse, because he was very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And he showed me this bookshelf, and it's got loads and loads of books.
Yeah.
And it was like, I feel as if he was buzzing information, because he had so much. And I also feel that travel was important to this man. Would that make sense?
I'm not so sure about travel.
Right. Would he have had travel books then or something? Because he's definitely seen travel. He's saying, my head was full of remorse, you know. And sometimes it's that useless information, but he knew so much. But I think he was, to me, he was this kindly man who would have, if you needed, he would have got, or he would have helped you forward. Now, I don't know if September's relevant to you, but he's showing me the month of September.
September, yeah.
Right? Because I'm just saying, is that important, just to kind of connect there as well? You wouldn't have an old case with lots of things on it, or would he have had?
You know, years ago they had the old fashioned keys with the kind of stickers or the stamps or something on them.
Well, we had.
Right, because he's showing me, he's saying, I thought, God almighty, they look ancient.
But, probably did as well.
And the stickers and all the different things, you know. It almost takes me back to a black and white movie where, you know, they were going their holidays and the big stamps on them. Okay. I don't know if you're travelling, but I feel as if that's what he's saying. I feel as if you've
been nice.
There's something about travel for you as well. But I also feel for you where knowledge is concerned that there's a very strong connection as well about learning knowledge and improving your skills and your gifts as well. So I don't know if you're about to embark on a new bit of your journey, but it feels as if, why is rolling dice?
I know why.
Right, because I thought, hey, exactly, just threw down some dice there. And as long as you understand it, that's okay. A six, by the way.
But I can tell you what it is. It's a miniature bottle carved out of ivory, which his wife gave me 2 days before she passed over. And it's an antique, and inside are dice, miniature dice. You have to use a magnifying glass to see them, and that's wonderful evidence for me. Thank you.
Oh, that's lovely. And you know how everybody wants a six? So, and six is the number of decision and choice, so there's a lot of decisions and choices for you as well. I want to ask, would you understand where, I don't know, somebody did a brain injury or something to the brain? Is making me very aware.
My husband.
Right.
Just basically.
Because he's just saying problems here. Mm-hmm. And I just feel a wee bit, oh, I'm worried about that. So that's obviously a worry because it's health. But I feel that, you know, obviously spirit are there and giving energy as well.
Thank you.
That's okay. And I'm also getting a fan. But it feels like an old fashioned fan. So
loads of antiques.
Right. But also, can you take that metaphorically? Is somebody always trying to because I'm like, and I think again the whole thing is connected. So he's very close and coming forward with that. I want to also talk about would I don't know if I've got this wrong, but it keeps showing me a radio. So did somebody either, I don't know if somebody worked with radio or radios or there's a connection. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
I'm not so sure. You know, I remember often about our radio in the house when I was young. I think about the radio a lot. It did work in journalism.
Oh, okay.
It's quite handy.
Right, because I just thought, I don't know if you're working with that, or if there's a, because quite often spirit give you things and it's metaphoric.
Broadcast of information.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's showing me this radio, so it means twofold then for you as well. Mishka, are you writing? Right, are you writing a book?
Intending.
Because I'm feeling that he's moving on from that to say, you know, writing, and it's important. But you're not very disciplined with yourself.
No.
In fact, you're a bit scatterbrained sometimes, so sorry. Don't shoot a messenger. But he's saying that all over the place, do you know that? And he said, see if you organise your time and your diary, things would be good. Now, he's also shown me what looks like a ledger, where there's numbers or something in. So are you keeping something like, I know you've got that there, but it's not that. You're laughing at.
I do.
What is it?
Oh, just carry on, sorry.
Put me right off my stride now.
Sorry.
You're going to have to tell us in a minute now. Does that make sense? What are you laughing at? Tell us.
Oh, carry on. Don't let me put you off.
Too late.
I do have to keep information of a certain sort in an order.
Right. Because there is, it's a ledger. Uh-huh. That's what he's saying. It's not a book, it's a ledger. So he's just talking about that as well. And I don't know if in your dream state things are happening as well, because he's saying, oh my God, you're hell of a busy hen. Because there's so much going on there. Okay. Have you looked into Akashic Records? I don't know if I pronounced that right or not, do you? Akashic Records.
I know what you're talking about, and I do believe that.
Have you done something about that? And if not, will you watch where something's going to come up about that?
that he's saying keep the learning going. He's quite, I feel as if he would give you that stamp of approval. He's like a headmaster, do you know that, right?
He just looked like that, but he wasn't, but that's how he looked and how he came across.
Yes,
he's all and authoritative.
Absolutely,
yeah.
But he was so gentle.
He was,
you know. And somebody must have worked with, he, you know, he's showing me, you know, the old fashioned microscope thing.